Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Right now, that time is 8:11. You are tuned to WGNS. As always, we certainly do appreciate it. Our guests this morning, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland. Shane, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Scott. Great to be here.
Good to see you this morning.
It's a beautiful day outside. I'm excited.
Very nice. I hope it stays this way all day long.
I was looking at the weather this morning. It was funny because I sent a tweet out this morning. My two-year-old woke up, and the first thing he does is we sit down on the couch, and he looked up at Channel 2 and said, "Hi, Neil. Hi, Dawn."
That's funny.
Yeah. But the weather was supposed to look great.
Well, good. Now, we were talking to Christy Sanford earlier this morning from Greenhouse Ministries. She was talking about the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, which is right around the corner in May.
May 7th.
You ready for it?
I'll be there.
It should be a big event, as always. A lot of people will be attending.
I'm really excited. And it's always a good chance that everyone comes together and on National Day of Prayer and, you know, prays for our country and our community, and we celebrate the blessings we've got here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County.
When things like that happen where locals gather from all over the community, when they come together, do you feel like when they leave, they're leaving with, I don't know, a little extra step in their beat? I mean, do they feel better when they leave?
Oh, I mean, I think you use those as events that you, for a lack of better term, to recharge your batteries, and then you get charged up, and then you go back out and work and do the things in the community you need to do, and then you look for another opportunity like that you get recharged again.
Well, starting off this morning, what are some of the big things happening within our city right now?
You know, we're still working on the Murfreesboro 2035 plan. The consultants were in town last week. We had at our city council meeting last Thursday, there was a good presentation to us on where we are at this point. We've gone over sort of our I describe it in terms of when you go to eat dinner, we've been served our salads. So we're working through getting all of the things in line to work on, but we're working on neighborhoods. Now they're working on, that was chapter 5. So it's really going into what we see for neighborhoods coming up in the future, you know, where we have development opportunities on neighborhoods coming through, sort of what some of the trends are, what people are looking for neighborhoods. So lots of good things going through there. Obviously, Murfreesboro is one big road project right now. With Bridge Over Broad, you've got construction going out on the west side of town. You've got construction on the south side of town. So you've got Joby Jackson Parkway, you know, the bridge that's hopefully going to open up sometime in May. You've got the Veterans Parkway. So you've got road construction projects all over. And then we're continuing to deal with one of the things I'm excited about. We're getting ready to launch the Better Borough Project, and it's the Mayor's Fit Initiative to work on how do we make Murfreesboro a healthier and better place to live. So those are some of the things that we're working on, and hopefully going to announce here before too long that in January we're going to have, and I know you'll take place in this, a New Year's Day 5K.
Does this mean I have to run?
Absolutely. Run or walk.
Okay. So,
and you know, what better way to start off your New Year's Day than coming out, you know, 10, 11 o'clock and running a 5K?
At midnight?
No, in the
closer
morning.
To,
no,
okay.
It'd be New Year's Day.
Okay.
I'm afraid we wouldn't get anyone to come out and run on New Year's Eve.
You know what? I think I'll be out of town that day for running.
No, we're going to make you come back, Scott.
Great. Now, going back to the bridge, the Joby Jackson Parkway Bridge, which connects to what used to be called County Farm Road, that was supposed to be ready right about this time frame.
Yeah.
Actually, before this time frame.
You know, what happened, the contractor, the bridge got finished 3 months ahead of schedule. I think that was sort of the time frame. But, you know, we have checks and balances in place to make sure that we're using taxpayer dollars wisely. And you've heard the old saying, when two astronauts were in the space shuttle and they're getting ready to take off, how does it make you feel that this was built by low bid? And that's, you know, we deal with the framework that we're given, and we have to make sure that things are done correctly. And we had our checks and balances in place and found out that the thickness of the concrete deck on the bridge was not thick enough. And so the contractor is now having to remediate that and get it to the specifications that you know, we have, we expect.
Now, I was told they actually have to remove what they put down and basically restart the whole, you know, laying of the surface all over again.
Yeah, there's, you know, you can't pour concrete on top of concrete. You know, you can in certain instances, but I don't think a bridge is one of those. So, yeah, it's one of those things when you make a mistake like that, it's got to be pulled up and redone again.
Now, I'm curious, you being the mayor, when you hear about a project going haywire at some point, do you actually go out there and walk over the bridge and say, wow, now I see what they're talking about?
Well, I think there are certain cases where you do. But in this instance, you know, we have engineers, we have consultants who are helping monitor those projects. And I think as far as those things, you want to let them make sure that they're doing their job. I'm saying this is coming from someone who is in construction. I think the last thing that they would want is to have an elected official going out there and trying to make a decision on whether it's okay for the thickness of the bridge to be able to proceed or not. So, you know, I think you have good staff in place. You trust that staff, and we've got great people in Murfreesboro who monitor those things.
For those who have not been out there to actually see the bridge, this is one of the biggest bridges in Murfreesboro right now.
It is the biggest bridge in Murfreesboro. It's the longest bridge in the city. It's a quarter of a mile long. So it is
a
big bridge.
It goes over one fork of the Stones River. It goes over the elevated CSX railroad lines, which are really high compared to the depth of the river. I mean, they're probably about, what, 35, 40 feet above the river?
They're up there. And, you know, I equate it to, like, for those who've played golf out at Indian Hills, and you'll see how high the railroad tracks are above the golf course. It's sort of similar to that. And it's, you know, it's going to really close that loop in, or open the loop, I should say, for now. And if you're trying to understand where this is, if you're going 24, get off the Joby Jackson Parkway exit, you're going east towards Manchester, you'll get off and take a right. And you go, and as soon as you take a right, you'll make a curve, and then you come up on the bridge. So it's going to really help those people who live out on 231 to be able to connect to the interstate a lot quicker, and should relieve traffic at that 231 interchange, which is already very, very busy.
Now, I've got a list of 175 questions here to ask you this morning.
Yes,
so we're just going to run through them.
No, yes, no.
Perfect. You got it. So the next question is, a lot of people are concerned that here in the city limits of Murfreesboro, and perhaps a little outside as well, but they are concerned that we've kind of built ourselves out of the, you know, new house era, if you would, and therefore, starter homes are no longer going to be a thing of Murfreesboro.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that we were looking at on this Chapter 5, the housing that just came back. The median house in Murfreesboro is $176,000. And you look at that in relation to what the median income in Murfreesboro, and we got a lot of good information that really showed what the percentage of the median income should be set aside for your mortgage. And, you know, it showed that based on where we are right now, that number is higher than it needs to be. So you have two options: get your wages up or get house prices for the affordability factor more in line. And that's some of the things that you have to try to look at. You know, there was one of the suggestions that the consultant said, well, as you go through a development cycle and you look at a new project, that you should allocate X number of acres to what's considered affordable housing. And, you know, I think right now every option's on the table to try to figure out how we handle that. Basically, right now an affordable house is going to be in the townhome range, you know, and that's more of a function on where we've come out of the recession. One of the numbers that is amazing, that 76% of our homes have been built after 1980. So that's one of the things that we have got to be able to look at, that the useful life and the average life of a house is somewhere around 35 to 40 years when you start seeing that major repairs and major upgrades have to be done. So, you know, we've got to look to make sure as we get to be an older community, how we incentivize and make sure that neighborhoods are continued to be upkept. So, you know, when people will say, well, what does the city have to do with that? Well, when a neighborhood goes down, you also look at issues like crime, services, things that end up costing taxpayers more money. So we have to figure out ways to mesh those together.
Now, I don't want to start naming neighborhoods out there, but there are some starter neighborhoods that were built in the 90s and also early 2000s here in Murfreesboro. And a lot of those neighborhoods now are rental property areas where a lot of the homes, if not maybe 50% in some cases, are owned by somebody else, and then they rent it out to the person living there.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things we've looked at in this study is what our homeownership to rental rental percentages are. And then it also even goes into looking at, well, this is single-family ownership, this is single-family rental, multifamily rental, and really what has come across, and this is where I would say that we have to look at ways to do better. There's really just two ways of two different sectors of homes in Murfreesboro. You either have single family or you have multifamily, and that's it. And really what this comprehensive plan is looking at, you know, there's many different areas of home opportunities that are not within those two sectors. And that's what we have to be able to do to not just say, okay, look, affordable houses are for landlords to come in and to be able to buy those. But some of that is also turned into a function of what happened in the economy back in 2007 and 2008, where there were so many homes that were foreclosed. Those homes have now been bought by rental groups. So it's going to be a function of meshing all that together to see how we can make that work.
You know, in a lot of cases, those who are buying property as investment properties, that's not always a bad thing because, like you said, there were some homes that were foreclosed on. Companies came in, bought those. Those homes are now rented out, so they're no longer vacant, which is a very positive thing, I think, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I think if you had to choose between a vacant home or a home that is bought by, you know, when you look at these, a lot of these people who have bought these homes are local investors who've bought the rental home. So, you know, if I had to choose between a vacant foreclosed home in a rental home that someone has for investment property, and 9 times out of 10 when someone buys something for an investment property, they're going to make sure it's going to be upkept. Now there's different examples, but I think that's where we want to promote that.
Definitely. So right now the time is 8:24. Our guest this morning, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland. And if you have a question, if you'd like to call in, feel free to do so. Our number 893-1450. We'll open up the phone lines here in a couple of minutes. Again, that number is 893-1450. Now, while we're on the subject of building and building progress, I wanted to make a note of this. I was talking to somebody yesterday who is a new resident to Murfreesboro, and what they said, I felt like it was a compliment to our city. They were telling me, you know, where I come from, it seems like all the growth happened, then they started building roads afterwards. She said, but here in Murfreesboro, just by looking around and driving around, it seems like the city is actually planning ahead. They're building the roads, and then they see the growth. Now, I know it hasn't always been that way, but at some point, something changed along the lines, and in the city of Murfreesboro, we started planning ahead, looking to the future, and building roads before we had the business.
You know, yes, is the short answer. But probably like you, Scott, when you're a small business owner, there's two ways of working. You work on your business or you work in your business. And a lot of times with planning, we get so busy within the city that we don't get to plan a lot because things are coming at us so fast that we're really trying to get the day-to-day operations done. So I think what's happened, the city has really made an effort to make sure that we're not just working in our business and the things that are coming to us, but we're actually working on and trying to think through. Now, do we always get it right? No. And I know that's coming from a political official who's saying that we make mistakes. I think we can look at different areas in our city where we have road networks that people will try to stay away from, and we make mistakes. But all in all, I think the city is really trying to put its best foot forward to make sure that we have the infrastructure in place before the development gets there.
You know, I remember growing up here, I remember in the 80s, when you would drive out what is Old Fort Parkway, which used to just be called 96, when you drive out that direction towards Franklin, there was nothing out there. I mean, the Stones River Mall was not there. It didn't exist. No Doubletree Hotel. None of that stuff was there. In fact, there was a house that sat along the river on the opposite side of the golf course. And an older woman lived there, and she'd have her grandkids over. They'd play outside in the field and whatnot. Because I remember going there as a kid. It was a friend of mine's grandmother. And we would play down by the river and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like a mall was built. And then, I don't know if the Doubletree came before the mall or vice versa, but everything happened so fast in Murfreesboro.
Well, this is funny. I was at a thing yesterday. When I came here in 1992, the population was 40,000. And there were 10,000 students at MTSU. Today, we're in excess of 120,000, and there's 27,000 students at MTSU. So there's twice as many people who, or really three times as many people who live in Murfreesboro right now who are not from here. So I was in a, one of the things I've really been trying to work on is have these small group meetings on a monthly basis. And last month invited the larger employers. You know, we had some manufacturing groups. And so I'm sitting there and, you know, we're eating lunch. And really the whole purpose was to be able to say, what's going on in your business? So I asked the question, who here is from Murfreesboro? Out of the 20 people who were there, guess how many people from Murfreesboro were there?
Maybe zero? I don't know.
One. Joey P. with Murfreesboro Medical Center was the one person who is from Murfreesboro.
I like Joey.
Yeah, I do too. And the thing that we have to be able to look at over the last 25 years, really since I've been here, the growth in the people who are here, a lot of it that they come in, they don't get to hear the backstory of this used to be a field and, you know, grandmother had her kids playing out here and her grandkids playing out here. And so a lot of it, you know, someone comes here like the person you're talking about and it's they just see it as, well, this just must have just happened overnight.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A lot of planning in place.
It's wild. And some people who move here, they see Murfreesboro as a small town compared to where they may have used to live. But if you grew up here, you don't see it as a small town. I mean, you see it as a vibrant, growing community. And some people would say a suburb of Nashville. But people who are from here don't like you saying that, which is funny. They take offense to that.
Oh, well, I do, too. You know, that I don't.
Well, sorry, man.
No, I mean, I'm going to throw something at you, Scott. I think Murfreesboro is, you know, we get lumped into the mid-state area. And Murfreesboro is so unique. That you look at, you know, our history, how old this city is, and compare that to many of our neighbors. And there's a lot of things that we have that others don't. And obviously, you hope you hear your mayor saying that. I don't think you would hear your mayor say, yeah, we're just sort of like everybody else. I mean, you know, I think we are different. And that's one of the reasons, you know, for better or worse, that you look at the mid-state area and Wilson County, Williamson County, Davidson County, Sumner County, Murray County, that there's so much influx of people wanting to come to this mid-state area.
You know, for years and years, you would have Nashville, and you would call it on surveys and statistical information that is sent out, a metro statistical area, and now you have Murfreesboro, which is now called, what is it, a micro metro statistical area or something crazy like that, which we never heard of until a few years back.
Well, it's looking at the growth Murfreesboro has. You know, we're the sixth largest city in Tennessee. To even think about this, the west side of the interstate is the same size as Smyrna. You know, there's 50,000 residents who live on the west side of 24. So, you know, Murfreesboro is definitely looking at where we are now. I would say we're not the small town that's on the outskirts of Nashville anymore. We really are more our own area.
Right now that time is 8:30, temperature outside, about 66 degrees. We are going to take a short break. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland with us this morning. When we come back, we will take phone calls at 893-1450. That music right there is for you, Shane McFarland.
Here at Music World and Drummer's Den, we do our very best to be very price competitive. On most major items, we're matching internet prices and sometimes even better. So if you're looking for great quality at good prices, this is the place to shop. Come by today and join our Play Today music program. We can get you started playing today and ready to go. This is Dave Kivenimi inviting you to come by Music World and Drummer's Den in Murfreesboro across from Indian Hills.
Start your day with breakfast at Peter D's, next to the Avenue of Murfreesboro on Medical Center Parkway.
Everything we make here is fresh. We had a bunch of people that were already here, and so we said, you know what, we wanted to give people options. So since we already had people here, it was just kind of a no-brainer to start cooking breakfast.
Peter Demas.
We have over 100 items on our breakfast menu. We have over 60 omelets. We have eggs benedict. We have quiche. We have your basics, eggs and bacon. We also have eggs where you can scramble with chorizo sausage. We have a Nutella French toast. We have blintzes. So we have a variety of different items.
Enjoy breakfast at Peter D's.
We got a great lighter side menu for those that are trying to watch what they're eating, with a broiled grapefruit. Cottage cheese is a side dish. We get egg whites that we scramble with our Cajun seasoning, all sorts of stuff.
Start your day with breakfast at Peter D's, next to the Avenue of Murfreesboro on Medical Center Parkway. Great food, always at Peter D's.
Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters.
Get more for your money with new and used fitness equipment from Play It Again Sports. Name brands, unbeatable prices, and new equipment arriving daily.
Trade in, trade up.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
It's severe weather season. This is Jenny Williams at Gill's Ace Hardware. Sign up to receive weather bulletins on your cell phone from News Radio WGNS. Sign up at WGNSradio.com.
A few memories from the residents of Christian Care Center of Rutherford County.
My husband bought me 1966 Impala Super Sport. Regal red. I had people look at me wanting to take a ride in my car.
Christian Care Center of Rutherford County.
Back in the 70s, I went to Nashville. I used to say, where I grew up, I'm going to get a job working in an office, sitting behind a desk. And that's what I did. Sitting behind a desk on a job.
Brad Whitaker, Admissions Director of Christian Care Center of Rutherford County.
If you would like to find out more about us, come on down to 202 Enon Springs Road here in Smyrna, or visit us online at cccofrutherfordcounty.com.
Christian Care Center of Rutherford County, in Smyrna, on Enon Springs Road. Online at cccofrutherfordcounty.com.
Have you recently thought about building a new sunroom, maybe a screen room or a patio cover? Maybe new columns or new railings at your house? How about new shutters? What about gutters, flooring, windows, and exterior doors? A lot of people upgrade their exterior door, and it makes the whole house look totally different. Some people update their garage door, change the garage door, again, changes the appearance of the whole house. What about remodeling your kitchen or your bathroom or your outdoor living area? These are all things that Home Building Products in Murfreesboro can help you out with. Home Building Products is at 300 West Castle Street, again here in Murfreesboro, and they have more than 150 years of combined experience. Thousands of homeowners are very happy customers, and they've been in business for nearly 50 years. They've helped both myself out, Scott Walker, and also Bart Walker here at the station many times. Go to Home Building Pro, that's homebuildingpro.net.
Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters.
Get more for your money with new and used fitness equipment from Play It Again Sports. Name brands, unbeatable prices, and new equipment arriving daily.
Trade in, trade up.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. Still clearing the injury accident from earlier on I-24 eastbound at 96. A bit of congestion there still. Memorial Boulevard at Sulphur Springs Road. An accident that's in the clearing stages also. They've got busy traffic broad at Church Broad at Memorial Church at Tennessee Boulevard. Still busy traffic for us. Also busy traffic still on I-24 at Medical Center Parkway. This morning, the Third Base Sports Bar has so many screens you wish your head was on a swivel. Third Base Sports Bar, 5814 Nolensville Pike. Come in for the lunch specials, happy hour, and Nashville's best karaoke night. I'm Randy O'Brien, News Radio WGNS, AirWatch Traffic.
Right now that time, 8:35, temperature outside, about 66 degrees. Our guest this morning, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland. We'll go ahead and take a phone call here. Good morning. Thank you for holding. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. How about y'all?
Good morning.
On this bill that's in the Senate now about the banning the red light cameras, we hadn't heard anything back from it yet. I know that in the past, they, the city council stuff was like, well, y'all need to talk to the ones in Nashville and the senators and stuff. And then they, when you ask them, they'll say, y'all need to talk to your locals, your city council, and your mayors. And I know, I don't know if you've heard anything about this yet or not, but I heard around town, something around town, I don't know what how strong it is yet, but there's some going on right now talking that if they don't ban those red light cameras in Murfreesboro, the people's going to, they're going to band together and they're going to quit buying anything from the people that's got the, that votes for the red light cameras. They're going to quit buying from them people that have a business or where they work at. And I didn't know if you'd heard anything about it or not, or if you heard anything on banning the red light cameras yet. And I'll hang up and listen.
Wait a second.
You have a great day.
Wait a second before you hang up. I just got a quick question for you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, the quick question I've got for you is, and I hear this, is it tough, do you think, for the federal government to make mandates on state government? I guess I'm asking you, do you like when the federal government mandates things down to the state government?
I like for when you got the state of Tennessee has a set law for running a red light or moving violation, I like for it to be the same and not be tried to be somebody to change it and use it as some other way of making money and trying to make two laws out of one. I mean, that's my thing is you can't do two things for one thing. You can't charge one person one thing for running a red light, another person another thing. The state needs to, if y'all going to do that, then the state needs to just charge $50 for all their moving violations. And, I mean, I'm not for running red lights. I try to obey the law, and I want the law to obey the law.
Good.
And, I'm just here to tell you that what I'm hearing, there's a lot of people here in the past that asked for a vote. Let the city and the county vote on this, and they just ignore them. Well, now they're talking about, well, we're going to get some attention. We're going to quit buying. That's just what I've been hearing on the street. I didn't know if you'd heard anything about it or not, but it's out there. And, I mean, I've heard quite a bunch of people talking about it. They're just waiting back right now just to see if they are going to ban them or not.
All right.
And,
thank you for calling this morning, sir.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a great day now. Thank you.
And I will say, I have received at least two golden tickets for running red lights, thanks to the traffic cameras. But I paid them. You know, I mean, I ran it. There was a picture of me running it, so I didn't argue or
sure.
anything. Just went with it.
Well, you know, I wish that we didn't have to even worry about, you know, I think 95% of the people in Murfreesboro obey the laws, and unfortunately you have to make laws for the 5% who don't.
People like me.
And I wish we didn't have to even have a conversation about it. I know our police officers would like that as well.
Let's go ahead and go back to the phones. Line 2, I know you've been holding. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm close.
All right.
You're all sitting there listening. You know, it sounds simple to certain people with certain things. First of all, I would like to know how come the hospital here, as big as Murfreesboro, since you all love growth so well, why is it fibbling and fumbling around with the name of it? As large as Murfreesboro is, it can't have its own hospital. Can you tell me about? I'm not through. That's just my first one, but I'm gonna give you a chance to answer that one.
We do have our own hospital. It's St. Thomas Rutherford, right here in Murfreesboro.
Right. Why is Murfreesboro don't have its own hospital? That's owned by St. Thomas.
Oh, you mean a City of Murfreesboro hospital?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I don't think that, you know, I think we leave hospitals to be run by people who run hospitals, and I don't know how the city can run a hospital.
Oh, you telling me you all don't have nothing to do with the hospital?
No.
Okay,
that's,
who's in the city have something to do with it?
We don't have anything to do with St. Thomas Rutherford.
Well, who do?
The owners of St. Thomas.
Oh, I agree with the gentleman just called about the red light cameras. And, you know, you guys keep just hawking on growth. I think it's terrible. You know, I think it's ridiculous. Prices went up. You know what else? You take Walmart and your wonderful Nissan sitting down there. You all bragged about how great it was going to be. Why don't y'all make those people pay people for a fair day's work, a fair price for their work? And quit bringing people up here. You got these people coming to Murfreesboro, and you're hiring these people to work, and they won't hire people full time. What they do, they'll work them like a dog Walmart, and then you all bragging about all these Walmarts. This is very low down.
All right. Well, thank you.
I'm listening.
Thank you for calling this morning.
No, I want to answer from him.
About, I don't, you know, the thing with, I wish that, I was joking with somebody the other day saying I wish that there was the opportunity to say who can and can't come into this city, because if that were the case, I'm sure there would be one radio station and it would be WGNS and that would be it. But, you know, we just don't have the opportunity to do that. I think there's some things where it's out of our control. But I appreciate the comments. And
so you're a typical politician. You guys got a way of talking out of everything. That's welcome to America. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Thank you for calling this morning. We'll head line three now. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
How are you?
I am doing good. How about you?
I'm good. Shane, you good?
I'm great.
I just want to add my 2 cents worth. You have my vote for the red light cameras. Please keep them in the city of Murfreesboro. Thank you and have a great day.
All right. Thank you for calling. And back to line one now. Good morning.
Good morning. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Hello, Mayor. I just want to tell you, I think you're doing a great job. I appreciate the hard work you're doing and the city council and the vision of a 2035 plan, thinking ahead. I think y'all are just doing a bang-up job, and I just appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much. That's always good to hear, and I will say I don't think you'll find six council members who work harder. We have got a good group of people who work at the city. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Our number here at the station, once again, 893-1450, and the caller couple of calls ago talking about regulating what businesses are here. The government can't get into that line of business. I mean, that would seem dangerous to me if we were to regulate and say, nope, you can't come, but you can.
Yeah, that's gets into a slippery slope when you let politicians or elected officials say who can and can't come into the city. I mean, we have ordinances and rules in place to say if you meet these rules and these stipulations, then you know, you get to come into the city. And I mean, Scott, I think that's what America is. I mean, America says it's the land of opportunity. And if I don't think it's my goal or not, or my role or the city council's role to say, hey, you know, you can't come. We don't like you. Now, I think we're talking about right now the alternative financial institutions. And I don't think it's our responsibility that we can say we don't like you, we don't want you in our city. But I do think that we have the opportunity to look at things to say, okay, from Clark Boulevard to Northfield, there's 9 of those places and they're all clustered right together. Well, that's where I think smart planning comes in to say, well, maybe that's not a good idea to do that. And so I think those are areas where we look at, you know, something I'm think that we need to look at is design standards to say that, okay, you know, you can do some of these things, but you can't do these things to make sure that if we are going to have large big box retailers, that we make sure that landscaping, that parking, that appearance, all those things that could detrimentally affect a neighborhood are being done. And that's been the biggest part with Murfreesboro. As you start seeing that we're a city the size that we are, you really start having cities within cities. And you have people who are on the west side of town that now have the services on the west side of town that they don't have to come into other areas of Murfreesboro. And that's where, you know, you work to make sure that we maintain that community atmosphere. But, you know, if all of our services were in one spot, can you imagine how hard it would be to get in and out to get those services? So, you know, I think it's our goal to promote where you do have those services that are in different areas of our city.
Our guest today, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland, will go back to the phones and line two. Thank you for holding.
Yes, sir. That gentleman talking about them red lights, I was supposed to run one 3 or 4 years ago down in Smyrna, and he'd be surprised. $190 when the policeman said he saw me to run it. It was $50 here, and I was sitting up there off on down from the police station today, and I'd seen two cars run right through the red lights on there. But I don't know if some people think that the city and things making money off of that. But this guy, about Nissan, my grandson, he went to school for 4 years, tech school, every night, and he got on down in Nissan on there. And they, after he was on the line there at midnight, they told him, said, you're going to go back to school. And Nissan paid 4 years, MTSU, for him to get a better education and do things. And if it wasn't Nissan here, they'd be bitching about, why don't you get some factories here? You got some people, you got to. I want to bitch about everything. It don't make any difference what it is. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I don't want to dominate the whole show on red light cameras because it seems like when I come up here, that's you've got the gentleman who calls. He calls every time about red light cameras and, you know, what's important to every person. That's why you, if you're an elected official, you what's small to you is huge to someone else. But I think you have to put it in context. The state says, here are the laws that you have to enforce. They don't tell us how to enforce them. They say, enforce these laws. And there's no other vendor in the state of Tennessee that does red light, manages red light cameras. And so here are the things that I look at, maybe looking at this from a business perspective. The city does not make a lot of money off those. That's a fact. The second thing is, it's going to cost us $1.3 to $1.5 million if we were to conventionally enforce red light cameras. Now, guess who pays for that, Scott? You do. The taxpayer pays for that. Right now, the taxpayer does not pay a penny to enforce these intersections. They don't pay a dime. So here's my question. Would you rather have red light cameras and not have to worry about how to enforce them, or would you like the taxpayer to have to figure out how to subsidize $1.3 million per year to enforce those laws? And, you know, the taxpayers I hear from say, let the violators pay for running the red lights. I don't want to have to pay to monitor people who run red lights. And that's where I, you know, continue to look at it. So, and if there's a better way to do it, I'm all for finding a better way to do it. We've tried to improve the system, and we'll continually work on trying to improve it. But, you know, I was telling a local, one of the state legislators, that I don't want to have to go and tell a property tax owner, that we're going to have to raise your taxes to be able to enforce red lights. I don't think that would be a good option.
You know, on the subject of Nissan, I realize that is in Smyrna, but I wanted to mention this. I've got a younger brother-in-law who worked for a temp agency, and he worked through Nissan. And through the temp agency, he would work night shifts at Nissan, and I never heard him complain about it one bit. And he did that for about 2 years, and he proved himself to Nissan. Now he is actually working for the company of Nissan. In other words, if you work hard, I think, and if you show up on time and you have a good attitude about it, you've got the chance of being hired full-time by Nissan, which is a very positive thing for his family, I know. And so I think some of those on the outside looking in, they just see, oh, it's a temp company. They're hiring for this great big mammoth company, and they're not doing anything for the community. But I think that's from the outside looking in. They don't realize what's going on. They don't understand that a lot of people who work for these temp agencies do get hired full-time.
Yeah, and, you know, I relate it to the construction side. It would be feasibly impossible for me to employ all the crews that work on a job. But you look at, say, for instance, the framing crew I use, it's a guy from Rockville, solid business owner, solid citizen. He employs 14 people who work for him. Now, they don't directly work for me, but they work for the framer. And so those are the things where I think you look at to try to figure ways that it's not just one person. It's a community, and that's where you see that. Now, I'm not going to say that you look at – I don't – there are people I do business with that I may not agree with decisions that they make, but that's – in the end, that's their business, and they have to make decisions that are what they feel like are right for their business.
There are so many pieces to the puzzle to make a city or make a county operate. I mean, there's just so many different pieces, and it's hard to understand every single little piece that fits in to the bigger piece of the giant puzzle we're looking at.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Yes. I just want to know why we don't have two hospitals in Murfreesboro. Well, Murfreesboro is growing. We got one way across town. I think we need one in town. Because Nashville got about six or seven. Where Murfreesboro is growing, I think we need at least two hospitals. We can have four Walmarts, but we can't have two hospitals. Because people's bad off sick, stay in country. They will not make it way across town. I just think we need at least two hospitals in Murfreesboro where Murfreesboro is growing and people's moving in and stuff like that. I just want to know why we can't have at least two hospitals, one in town, where people can get to.
All right. Thank you for calling this morning. And
I don't have the answer to that question. I would think that if, you know, at 120,000 residents, if we get to where the opportunity to have another hospital, that you would have another hospital that would be looking to do that.
I mean, it has to be somewhat profitable in order for a business to stay in business. I remember it wasn't too long ago in the city of Memphis, one of the hospitals there actually closed down because it was not profitable enough to keep them in business. And in other words, you don't want to locate somewhere where you can't afford to operate.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the city, we're good at, there's things that we're good at, you know, and understanding what our strengths and our weaknesses are. I would think that one of our weaknesses, we, you know, talking about getting into the healthcare business would not be a good thing for the city. But, you know, I think, I don't disagree with the caller that it may take a little longer to get to the hospital, but I also would say as a community, one of the things that you look at and you say, what's a strength in our community, and you look at this Murfreesboro 2035 plan that has come back, one of the main strengths we have in our community is the healthcare system we have in our community. I mean, we are really, you look at it, we're a healthcare town with some of the things that we have with, you know, NHC, with St. Thomas, with so many different businesses and healthcare providers we have, Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. You know, we're blessed to have a good healthcare base in our city, and we appreciate what they do.
We'll go to line
And I think that is something that is good. Just had a text that was sent to me from one of the city staff. We don't make that determination on when a hospital gets to come into the city. The state does that. The state has to go through, for instance, you know, a live hospice just got approved to put an organization or put a facility in Murfreesboro, but they had to go to the state to get a certificate of need. So the state has to approve that. So it's not just like with a regular company that you could just open your doors. I mean, a hospital would have to go to the state and prove that we have the market to do that.
We'll go back to line one now. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I'll give you a couple of solutions. Take your red tie cameras and start monitoring this driving around here and give dummy taxes on tickets on all these people that can't drive. You will triple your revenue. You'll get the traffic flow going a little better. And I can see by some of the people you've called on there this morning that you couldn't guide them with a blinders on. So it's just ridiculous. This town has just gotten completely away from itself. You know, the whole value, the whole deal, it's just a joke. And as far as your politicians, he's very long-winded. He's talked a whole lot and says nothing there. He's talked all morning, and he hadn't really said anything. So thank you.
All right.
Well, I appreciate that.
Let's head back to line four now. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes, good morning. I'm talking about the traffic situation. I don't understand why consideration has not been given years ago, like Jennings Jones mapped out Broad Street. Can you visualize what a hectic traffic problem we had if he had not been looking to the future? going down Main Avenue to Main Artery into town. Why is there not any consideration given to doing something to relieve the inner traffic, especially the heavy traffic by tractor trailers, with an outer road where, like Briley Parkway, to relieve the inner city problem? Can you imagine the evacuation of just one wing of the hospital down there with that medical center parkway, which has no center emergency lane? What a hectic situation that would be. We're talking about planning for the future. It looks to me the most urgent thing is traffic problems. Thank you for listening.
Yes, ma'am. I don't disagree with you. The traffic is one of the continuing issues that we'll deal with, and I honestly think that if we had it to go back, that Medical Center Parkway, if we could have afforded to get the land, that we would have said, yeah, we do need shoulders on that road. So I totally agree with that. But I will tell you, you know, we've tried really hard with Veterans Parkway, with Rutherford Boulevard, with Joby Jackson Parkway, to be able to make that circle around the city like you're talking about with Briley Parkway. So now that you can get and encircle the entire city by staying on those roads. Now, we've got a lot more work to do, and we'll continue to do that. But we do realize that traffic's going to be an issue.
Right now, the time, 8:58. You're tuned to WGNS. Our guest this morning, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland. I don't think we have time for more phone calls, so we'll kind of wrap it up. But, you know, all in all, it seems like the city of Murfreesboro is very positive compared to a lot of other cities around the country.
Yeah, you know, we've some of the things that we're going to continue to deal with are going to be problems. I mean, we're going to have things that are not going to make everyone happy, but you know, we continue to try to hit those things as hard as we can, as quick as we can. And, you know, we're going to be dealing with a solid waste issue that's going to be one of the biggest issues we're going to be dealing with in the next many years, with Middle Point landfill closing down. And as it stands right now, you know, we haven't had a property tax increase in 16 years.
Wow.
16 years. And, you know, as the costs of doing things have gotten more expensive, and when we look at what's going to happen with this middle field, with the landfill, it's going to be a huge impact on our citizens on figuring out exactly what we do with our trash and our waste.
We're going to have to pay more money in order to get that trash sent off somewhere.
Well, yeah, right now, you know, we get a truck fill and we take it to the landfill. We got to find out where it's going to go moving forward in the future.
Elsewhere.
That's right.
Right now, that time, 9 o'clock, our guest this morning, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.
Give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are. Live with all your faults.